Hello, this is Barbara Ridenour with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated February 23rd, 2018. We'll start today's reading on the front page with Best Birthday Ever. Overlot, Community Love, Their State-Bound Lady Timberwolves. Bethany. On Monday, Marge Overlot was desperately searching for a ride to Salem. There was nowhere else she would have rather been the day before her 80th birthday than at the Class 1A Salem Super Sectional Girls Basketball Game between Okaw Valley and Mounds Meridian. She procured a ride, and when the fourth quarter buzzer sounded, the Timberwolves had won their school record 29th game this season, clinching a spot in the Final Four at Redbird Arena in Normal. When Overlot went down to the court following the game, she searched for the players, finding sophomore and family friend Kate Jeffers. I went up to her and said, "Katie, I know you don't have time for this, but this is the best birthday present I ever got in my life. I just want you to know I'll always remember this game," Overlot said. "It was so exciting, I was in tears." Overlot, who taught at Bethany Elementary School for 28 years before she retired in 2000, doesn't drive at night, but was at the sectional final and the super sectional. She will also be in Redbird Arena at 11 a.m. today when the Timberwolves tip off in the state semifinal game against Stockton. Overlot is among the residents of the Bethany and Findlay communities who have rallied behind the team, but she said she would be remiss to not credit the number one adult fan, Charlotte Newman of Findlay. Downtown Bethany is filled with signs supporting the team. The school will be closed today for students and faculty to attend the game. Okaw Valley Principal Matt Schoaf estimated fans will use the entire 600-ticket allotment. "When I'm there, I'm going to be totally overwhelmed," Overlot said. "I hope the kids aren't. My heart is in it. Boy, my heart is in it. I may be 80, but I'm not dead yet." For Jeffers, it was fitting to see Overlot after Monday's game. "That's probably the best thing that I heard all night," Jeffers said. "She's a really close family friend. She has come to every Christmas and Easter at my house, pretty much my whole life. Her telling me that was so cool." When Overlot sets foot in Okaw Valley High School, everyone knows her. She talks to everyone she can find, and they listen intently. She picks up pencils in the hallway and shows off the Wall of Fame, which features graduates of the schools like it was a memory lane of photos of her own family. Athletics director Brooks Inman called her the matriarch of the community. "These girls in this school system deserve this," Overlot said. "They're really that good. They really are. This place is wonderful. We have the best superintendent and staff. They're wonderful. I can't say that enough." Overlot vividly described games her late husband, Buzz Overlot, coached and games her sons played in, specifically the 1974 through 1976 Bethany boys basketball teams that put together a 52-3 record in a two-year span. "Even talking about the two communities banding together for the postseason run is overwhelming for Overlot." "Grateful," she said, fighting back tears. "I'm really grateful, truly, that the community has come together like this." After the regional, sectional, and super sectional championships, the team was welcomed into town with an escort from the Bethany and Findlay fire departments. Right behind the escort was Overlot. The other night, it was 10:30 p.m. when they were going through town, and they were waking up all those old people like me, but I was following the bus, she said with a laugh. "I'm saying now all these old people are wondering if there was a fire somewhere, but in nearly every door were people congratulating the team, taking a community on the ride of a lifetime. We have a huge parade and people outside the doors waving," Jeffers said. "That's probably the coolest thing the community does." Overlot has seen this team on the rise for years, specifically Paige Robinson and her area leading 24.3 points per game. The two neighbors and Overlot remembered a time in the not-so-distant past when Robinson was out in the driveway playing basketball with the neighborhood boys. "She has shot baskets all her life," Overlot said. "One thing is certain, in a packed Redbird arena, it won't take much to find Overlot or Newman. Newman will be the one with the blue hair and her face painted, leading the charge, and Overlot will be the one in the stands with tears welling in her eyes, waiting to see her team hoist a trophy. I am so proud of them," Overlot said. "I have tears running down my cheeks just talking about them." Lawmakers renew push to license gun stores. Opponents say costly state measure would duplicate federal rules. Springfield. Gun control advocates are renewing their push to require Illinois firearm stores to get state licenses, saying federal regulations do not go far enough to ensure sales are handled properly. Legislation to license dealers cleared the state Senate last year, but stalled in the House amid fierce opposition from gun rights groups. They contend that licensing would drive up the price of purchasing a firearm by as much as $300. Democrats in the Senate are hoping to calm those fears, advancing companion legislation on Wednesday to limit the cost of licensing fees to $1,000 for a 5-year period. Lawmakers are revisiting the measure in the wake of last week's shooting in Parkland, Florida, in which 17 people were killed and others wounded by an attacker with an AR-15 semi-automatic rifle. Some lawmakers are calling for an outright ban on those weapons to try to curb mass shootings, an effort that has repeatedly failed in Illinois. But supporters of the license bill say that the more widespread crisis of handgun violence that permeated communities on the city's south and west sides. "We react, as we should, when there is a horrific mass shooting. But every day in my district and across the Chicagoland area, young people are dying from gun violence. I would like to do something to try and stop that," said sponsoring State Senator Don Harmon, Democrat of Oak Park. Harmon said the effort represented a more sensible, holistic approach rather than going after narrow issues raised in the direct aftermath of a tragedy. For instance, lawmakers tried and failed to pass a measure to ban bump stocks following the mass shooting in Las Vegas last year, in which the gunman used the devices to accelerate the rate of fire on several semi-automatic rifles. "I don't know if anyone in this legislature has heard about bump stocks until Las Vegas, and I don't think bump stocks were the root of that problem," Harmon said. "I would certainly vote to prohibit them, but it's a superficial response to a very particular episode, and we all too often fight the last war instead of trying to solve the real underlying problem." Opponents argue that gun sellers are already licensed by the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms and Explosives, which requires background checks. Todd Vandermeid, a former lobbyist for the National Rifle Association, who now represents a group of gun dealers called the Federal Firearms Licenses of Illinois, said the state measure could prove expensive for a small mom-and-pop shop. "We already have a federal licensing standard, and we think it works reasonably well," Vandermeid said. "Under the state proposal, anyone who sells, leases, or transfers firearms would have to be licensed by the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. Dealers and their employees would have to undergo training to make sure they know how to properly conduct background checks, store guns, prevent thefts, and thwart straw purchases, in which someone buys a gun on behalf of someone who is barred from doing so. All retailers applying for a license must pass inspection and receive written approval from their local sheriff, and all employees will be required to have a valid firearm owner's identification card and to pass the same background checks as those looking to purchase a gun. Regulators may also ask for fingerprints, a recent photograph, and access to other records. Shops would be required to have a working surveillance system in place by January 1st, 2021, a change from a former bill designed to give businesses more time for installation. Stores where firearm sales make up less than 20% of sales would be exempt from the new rules. The measure passed on 11-5 party line vote, with Republicans voting against it. It now heads to the full Senate for consideration, which would come as early as next week. The state Senate Executive Committee also advanced two related measures. One would require someone to have a FOID card to purchase prepackaged explosives. The other would allow family members or law enforcement officials to ask a judge to take away someone's guns or FOID card if they pose an immediate threat to themselves or others by having access to firearms. That measure did receive some Republican support, with Senator Chris Nybo of Elmhurst saying it was a reasonable response to recent gun violence. Changes worth waiting for. Richland celebrates opening of high-tech campus addition, Decatur. Decked out in his bright blue Richland Community College sweater and hat, Patrick McDaniel said he couldn't wait to see what changes were taking place at his alma mater. McDaniel, who now serves on the Decatur City Council, was among the dozens of community leaders on hand as the college welcomed the Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce to tour the new Carroll Center for Innovative Learning and Student Success Center. Richland has made such an important contribution to our community and its education, McDaniel said. And right now, with employers looking for skilled labor and educated workers, this is essential. The facilities have been open since the start of the spring semester, but Thursday night offered a chance for the community leaders to see firsthand the modern upgrades made at Richland. Staff led guests through the two new facilities, going over the perks of both a 21st century learning space and a centralized location for students to handle all of their academic and financial needs. The Carroll Center for Innovative Learning offers modern classrooms and community space, while the Student Success Center is meant to create a more efficient enrollment process for prospective and current students. The new sections take up more than 30,000 square feet of new space at the campus on the city's northeast side. The two projects cost nearly $10 million, with money for the Carroll Center coming from private donors and the Student Success Center coming mostly from the state. The latter source caused delays as lawmakers wrangled over the Illinois budget for more than 2 years. Students are still getting used to having all the enrollment services at one location inside the main building, said Richland President Chris Valdez. However, students are already voting with their feet in support of the Carroll Center. As Valdez said, it is often filled with students studying or just relaxing between classes. As tours continued Thursday night, Valdez said there's two common reactions from community members. One is that, what is this? And when they walk through it, I think people are really wowed once they see what the space is, he said. Not only are community members impressed, but Valdez said he has spoken to peers at other colleges as well as vendors who said that the Carroll Center is unlike anything they have seen in the state. Faculty members are also praising the center, with nursing program director Shelley Baldwin saying Thursday night that it allows students to be more engaged in the classroom activities and work more collaboratively with their classmates. So far, the students seem to be enjoying it, she said. They're motivated and they do participate more than when they were in the standard classroom. The Carroll Center project started with a $1.7 million gift from the Dell and Evelyn Carroll Trust, which is administered by estate trustee Gary Likens. Likens, Evelyn's cousin, said he can remember talking with Dell about the latter's interest in funding education and high-tech things. After touring the state-of-the-art facility, Likens said the addition was a fitting tribute to its namesake. I think Dell and Evelyn would be very, very pleased with the work that Richland has done, he said. They would be extremely pleased, he said. This week at heraldreview.com/calendar, today Salvation Army Senior Program started at 11 a.m. at the Salvation Army. The theme, Love Makes the World Go Round, for ages 50 and older. A $3 donation is accepted at the door. Saturday, Big Blue Review, 6:30 to 11:30 p.m., Millikan University Commons, $15 to $50. Millikan's College of Fine Arts students, faculty, and alumni. Sunday, Shape Note Singing, 2 to 4 p.m., Rock Springs Nature Center. In state and local news on page 3, conference membership supported. Springfield field official says Decatur issues arose after schools joined. The Central State 8 Athletic Conference reaffirmed its support of the Decatur School District on Thursday following comments made by the president of the Springfield School Board in which he called for Decatur's membership to be evaluated. The CS8 Conference would like to acknowledge and reaffirm our unwavering support for the coaches, athletes, families, and community of Decatur, said Russ Teppin, president of the conference and principal of Glenwood High School in Chatham. Teppin's statement was sent to the Decatur School District and forwarded to the Herald and Review by district spokeswoman Maria Robertson. Springfield School Board President Adam Lopez said that he wanted District 186 staff to evaluate whether MacArthur and Eisenhower High Schools should remain in the conference. Lopez raised the issue at his president's remarks at Tuesday's school board meeting, saying there have been numerous issues with the two Decatur schools since they joined the conference in 2014-2015. Lopez's remarks came a little more than a week after an altercation during a Lamphere High School and MacArthur boys basketball game in Springfield. Teppin defended Decatur's place in the Central State 8. The CS8 has earned the reputation of academic excellence and consistently has teams compete at high levels in all sports, he said in the statement. Decatur coaches and athletes are important to the continued success of the conference and are valued members of the CS8 family. Lopez said that the issues extended beyond basketball, but he did not elaborate during Tuesday's meeting. He also stopped short of saying he wanted to see the two schools expelled from the league. Decatur representatives responded to Lopez on Wednesday night as MacArthur hosted Eisenhower for a boys' basketball game. Decatur Public Schools has a long history of tradition of athletic excellence. We are committed to uphold this high standard of excellence by exuding good sportsmanship from our athletes, coaches, administration, and our fans who have a strong passion for our schools and teams, Robertson said in a statement. Our fellow conference members recognize the value that we bring to the CS8 and look forward to a long partnership. Teppin echoed those remarks on Thursday. It's important that we take time to celebrate each student's gifts and talents, regardless of the jersey they wear, he said. Diversity makes our conference great, and unity will make it better. In area briefs, Decatur, felon drove in truck filled with ammo. A felon driving around Decatur in a pickup truck carrying multiple boxes of ammunition and drug paraphernalia was arrested and jailed Wednesday night, police said. The 30-year-old man was caught after a traffic stop just after 10 p.m. in the 600 block of East Walnut Street, police said in a sworn affidavit. Officer Jason Danner said that he found a box of 308 caliber bullets in the vehicle, along with more boxes holding 58.308 bullets, 19.300 caliber bullets, 12.40 caliber bullets, and 42 12 gauge shotgun shells. Danner said that he also seized a long glass pipe that he said was used to smoke methamphetamine, along with a short straw he said was used to snort illegal narcotics. Danner said the man told him that he was a meth addict and claimed that he had been set up by someone planting the ammunition. Danner said the man has felony residential burglary convictions and is not allowed to possess guns or ammunition. He was booked on preliminary charges of the unlawful possession of ammunition by a felon and possession of drug paraphernalia. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the Macon County State's Attorney's Office. Decatur Police: woman hit man in head. Police are seeking a Decatur man's former girlfriend, who they say saw him out walking with his current girlfriend, chased him down in her car, and then hit him in the head with a bat or a pole. Detective Sergeant Steve Carroll said officers spoke to the 41-year-old victim Wednesday night while he was being treated at St. Mary's Hospital for a bloody head wound. The victim said he was pursued into the 1300 block of North Beth Boulevard and North Charles Street around 11 p.m. when the assault happened. He said the 40-year-old suspect is wanted on charges of aggravated battery and domestic battery. Decatur, NAACP to host march. The local NAACP branch is hosting a community march/caravan Saturday, February 24th in downtown Decatur. The march will be followed by a program on the second floor of the Decatur Civic Center at noon. Walkers will meet in the parking lot across from the Law Enforcement Center at 333 South Franklin Street at 10:15 a.m. Those who choose to drive in the march will line up their vehicles on West Macon Street between Franklin and East Wood Street. Participants are encouraged to carry or display profanity-free signs on their vehicles that express their love, hope, or desires for Decatur. The program following the march will be centered around those same themes. In case of inclement weather, the march will become a processional of vehicles to the Civic Center. Springfield High School's boost security. Springfield High School plans to have extra security and metal detectors in place Thursday in response to a threat circulating on social media. The Springfield State Journal Register reported that Springfield School District spokeswoman Bree Hankins said the SHS threat doesn't specifically mention the school and has been circulated in other geographic areas outside Illinois. Hankins said it is unlikely the threat is specific to Springfield, but the district will have extra security and police at the school out of an abundance of caution. School officials denounce arming teachers. Arming teachers? That's no way to eradicate school shootings, according to Central Illinois administrators and teacher representatives responding to a suggestion made by President Donald Trump. School funds should be spent on social workers, counselors, mental health, and smaller class sizes, said Suzanne Krebs, president of the Decatur Education Association, the union that represents Decatur teachers. We can't afford the basics now. Teachers don't have the necessities they need in the classroom, and we can't afford the cost to train and arm us, Krebs said. A day after an emotional meeting with survivors of the February 14th shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, in which 19 students were killed by fellow student Nicholas Cruz, President Trump tweeted the notion that highly trained teachers could carry guns as a deterrent to school attackers. Clinton Superintendent Kurt Nettles said Trump's comment arming highly trained teachers is unclear. Currently, I don't believe it's a good idea to arm teachers. If I can get a well-constructed plan of what a well-trained staff member would mean, I may be willing to have second thoughts about that, Nettles said. In speaking with law enforcement officers who have training in mass shooting incidents, Nettles said he doesn't see how a teacher or principal could be trained in a way that they could emotionally handle a situation like that, he said. Additionally, Trump said he would endorse strengthening background checks, banning bump stock-style devices, and raising the minimum age to 21 for buying certain rifles. If a potential sicko shooter, that's a quote, sicko shooter, knows that a school has a large number of very weapons-talented teachers and others who will be instantly shooting, the sicko will never attack that school. Cowards won't go there. Problem solved. Must be offensive. Defense alone won't work, Trump tweeted. He theorized that 20% of teachers with military or special training experience could carry concealed weapons in school buildings. A handful of teachers might welcome that, but I would suspect that the majority would feel very uncomfortable, said Barry Riley, Bloomington District 87 superintendent. I don't believe arming educators is the answer to preventing school violence. It would create an atmosphere of militarization in public spaces, said Carl Gecki, president of the Unit 5 Education Association that represents teachers in the Normal-based district. Unit 5 teachers carrying guns is, quote, not what we signed up for, Gecki said. We became teachers because we want students to learn and grow, not so that we can become trained in the use of arms to be used against, potentially, children. Unit 5 Superintendent Mark Daniels said he is adamantly opposed to the idea. A teacher is an educator, and we don't want to take steps to bring guns into our schools. What we need to do is to get to the root of the problem as to why these shootings have happened. All school officials have said that the preventative focus should be on building stronger relationships with students. Each district has an armed school resource officer at each high school and some at the lower grade buildings. We need to stop repeating history and tackle the school shooting epidemic head on, but arming our teachers is not the answer. Our teachers and support staff members did not sign up to carry guns, Illinois Education Association President Kathy Griffin said in a statement. Griffin said that the IEA has developed a free lesson plan called Know Me, Know My Name that schools can use to help identify students who, quote, end up committing these senseless acts of violence. The program is available at www.ieanea.org/resources/know-me. And the picture on this page shows two women cooking, one cutting up apples, the other one measuring cinnamon and putting it in a pot. And title is Cooking with Crossing. Eastern Illinois University undergraduate student intern Lane Wilson assists Illinois State University master student and dietitian intern Lauren Chan as she prepares a heart-healthy breakfast Thursday during the Cooking with Crossing presentation at Crossing Healthcare. Heart-healthy breakfasts including a recipe for oats and cinnamon waffles and no-mess omelets in a bag, were demonstrated as part of the monthly cooking event. Chan also talks about using applesauce as a healthier alternative to oil when making waffles. Driver sentenced in crash that injured pedestrian, Decatur. The driver who struck a Decatur pedestrian and caused terrible injuries was sentenced Wednesday to 30 months probation and a 60-day jail sentence, the jail term to be held in remission if he stays out of trouble. Macon County Circuit Judge Jeffrey Geisler also ordered defendant Miles McGonigal to serve 300 hours of community service. He noted the 51-year-old McGonigal's previous spotless criminal record and said sending him to prison was not necessarily for the protection of the public. McGonigal was convicted by a jury on December 5th of aggravated reckless driving in a crash, November 17, 2015. The jury had been told he was speeding and weaving in and out of traffic when his van smashed into Anthony Johnson at the intersection of U.S. 36 and East Prairie Avenue. Geisler set a remission hearing for May 15, 2019, to see if McGonigal had stayed out of trouble and deserved to keep his freedom. He also scheduled a court hearing for May 9th of this year to look at the question of the restitution owed Johnson. Speaking afterward, Johnson said he was satisfied with the sentence. That's all we have time for the first half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, dated February 23rd, 2018. This is Barbara Ridenour. Please stay tuned.